to the book of John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I just want to open up in prayer this morning. Let's get our hearts ready to receive from the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for just the impartation this morning of your life into our spirit, into our hearts. I pray for our hearts this morning that we are ready to receive from you. Give us revelation of your word. I pray that your spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding come upon us. Take away any veil that would keep us from understanding, Father, and that we would come into a place that takes us higher with you, understanding faith at greater levels. And I thank you, Father, for the life of God that is within us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to read this passage of scripture with the Samaritan woman this morning, but before I do, I want to remind you of the scripture in John 10:10, that where Jesus says that the enemy came to destroy, to seek, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have what? Life, and that more abundantly, abundant life. And so that word life is what I'm going to be focusing on this morning. Every passage that I read that has the word life in it, it's going to refer back to the specific word of Zoe, the Zoe life of God. And so if you're taking notes this morning, which I would encourage you to do, that is spelled Z-O-E. And that life is what we're going to be discussing or talking about, focusing on this morning, the life of God, which is available to every believer. This is the very thing that gives us substance. It's the very thing that gives us everything that's needed in life. Everything you need, everything that is made available from heaven is through the life of God, the very substance of God. And so this word, when he said that I have come that they may have life, and have it more abundantly, that was kind of like his mission statement, his theme, you know, of I have come that they may not be impoverished anymore, that they may not be sick anymore, that they may not lose their hope anymore, that they may not walk this earth with any kind of despair, but instead I have come that they may have life, and not just enough to get by, but to have it abundantly. Every answer you need is found in Jesus Christ and the life of God that's flowing through you. And so I want to look at this, and in fact I want to give you the definition of that word from the Greek word so that you can kind of have this playing in your mind as we're going through these scriptures this morning. But Zoe, life, it means real life, genuine life. Sometimes we can get that mixed up and we can think, well, you know, life, like we think of our physical life, you know, our breathing lungs, which that's a portion, but it's more than just this life, this body being able to live and move. There's so much more to the life of God. It's the genuine, real life of God. It also means that it comes always and only. I thought that was interesting. Always and only from God's self-existent life. Always and only. I love that phrase. Always and only from God's self-existent life. Because no one has to, there's no source that feeds into God. God is his own source. He doesn't have like a power company that he draws from. He is the power company. And we draw from him. He is the self-existent power. He is the self-existent life. And so that life is what we draw from. That is our source. That is our, in fact, another definition is capacity for producing. Capacity for producing and maintaining. So everything in life, it comes from God, our source, the life of God, the Zoe life of God. So as we're reading this passage of scripture, I want you to keep that in mind and keep that definition, that concept in mind. And you can see very quickly how we as human beings can sometimes get this mixed up and get focused on the wrong things, like the woman at the well did. And so let's read through this morning. I'm going to pick up at verse 4. And it says, "Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" That word "living" there comes from the same word, Zoe. Living water. Water of life. If you would have known who you're talking to, he said, you would have asked me for living water, the water of life, the God kind of life. But instead, he was asking her for water, but it turned and he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked me. And look at where her mind's at. She said, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" See, her mind is still focused on the here and now, the physical realm, and she's not catching what he's saying. She understands that he said living water, like an eternal life, an eternal water, but she's like, "You don't have anything to dip from. You don't have anything to dip with, and the well is really deep. So how are you going to get this living water?" And she goes on and says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That is a powerful verse right there. And he says, you can drink of this water out of this well, and you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the living water, the Zoe water, the eternal life water, the water that never runs dry, he says, you won't thirst again. And that idea of thirst means to earnestly desire. You're not going to have a desire again. Why? Because you're drawing from the source. And where is the source? It's now in you. He said, there's a well that springs up from you that causes there to be a source within you that provides that living water. So you don't have to go and search for it any longer, but instead it's in you. It's within you. And that living water is accessible at any time. And so this woman, let's go ahead and finish the passage. It says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' And he told her, 'Go, call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. And Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true.'" And I want to stop there. And we can see here is one example out of many, many, many examples that we as humans can run around trying to find our source through different things in life. See, this woman was trying to fill the void of life through husbands, through men. If only I can just find that right provider, that right man, that right guy that will make me happy, that will fill that void. And so there's many times, and of course, you know, sometimes we after living life for a little bit, we realize that person can't fill that void for us. That there's no person in the world I realized real quick after being married that Pastor Brad could not be my source of joy. There's no person that can be your source of joy. Jesus has to be your source of joy. Because Pastor Brad did not create me. He's not my originator. He is not the one that gave me life. He's not the one that created me. So how can he know my thoughts? How can he know how I'm created to be able to provide that in every way? He can't. It's impossible. So as a human, for me to place that demand on him is wrong. If I do that and create him as my source, that I'm setting myself up for a life of disappointment. We can often do that. We can place people in a position of source. We can do it with our employers and think, my employer is my source. My employer is the answer to all my financial problems. Or my children are the answer to my happiness. And I try to live my life through my children. Or a family member, or a parent, or even material things. If I just get this next thing, this next glittery thing, this next fuzzy thing, this next shiny thing, then it's going to bring me happiness. It's going to bring me joy. It's going to bring me fulfillment. It's going to bring me some level of giving me that peace. But we know that it runs out pretty quickly until the next moment. Until the next thing. So how do we find true peace? How do we find true joy? How do we find true fulfillment in life? Because if you get a hold of this today, it will bring you into a place of continuous peace in life, continuous joy in life, continuous, and not only that, value in life. Because if you try to find your value in people, that it's not going to work. You will be disappointed. If we set ourselves up as people or things as our source, guess what happens? We become emotionally driven. Because what happens if I'm expecting, let's just go back to marriage for a moment. What happens if I'm expecting Pastor Brad to read my mind and know exactly what it is that I'm wanting in that moment? Let's say, I'm thinking of some things, dealing with some things, and, you know, I've just been rolling these things around in my mind, and he comes in and kind of walks by, and he doesn't notice, like, I'm in a moment where I need to talk. He says, hey, honey, how are you? And goes on and doesn't really, you know, stop and say, how are you? He just says, hey, how are you today? And goes right on in. And that, yes. So if I'm sitting there going, well, he didn't really mean that. He said, how are you? But he didn't mean it. He didn't really stop and say, how are you, honey? Are you okay? Do you need to talk? And then I put all of that on him as my source. As my source of peace, my source of strength, my source of joy. What happens? Well, then a person can become frustrated. And now they become emotionally driven. Instead of finding their source in Christ, they become emotionally driven. So now I can become frustrated, and now my frustration or my, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about me. So my sadness, any emotion can become the driving force that starts a chain link of reactions. And then when we operate from reactions, when we operate from emotions, it never works out well because our eyes get unfocused off of God and focused on the wrong things and focused on something else appeasing or pleasing us. But if we keep our eyes on Christ and know that he is our source, he's my source of joy, he's my source of strength, he's my source of value. Where do I get my value from? From him. Because he tells me who I am. He tells me my identity. He tells me who I am through him and in him. So if my peace is found in knowing my identity in him, I'm not going to look at anybody else and say, what's my value? Oh, what did you say or not say to me today that gave me value? Oh, so-and-so didn't say hi to me. So-and-so didn't say thank you. So-and-so didn't say I appreciate you. So-and-so did, or maybe they did say something. Maybe they said, you're stupid. Why did you do that? That was so dumb. And now all of a sudden, my value is in that moment of that person saying that what I did was stupid or dumb. Well, that must be my identity. That must be my value. If I place my idea of source on people or things, because I understand things can be it too. People chase a lot of things. Titles, money, wealth, the riches, materialistic things, and that's not going to fill that void either. But if they realize their provision, see, that's another thing. Provision comes from God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is the source of everything you need. See, this woman at the well had it mixed up. And Jesus kind of called her out on it. He says, you're right. This life that you've been searching for, trying to find it in man after man after man, and it hasn't broke through for you. It hasn't provided that thing that you've been searching for. But if you'll turn your eyes upon the one that can give you life, if you'll turn your eyes upon the one that can be that source, then you'll never thirst again. You'll never earnestly desire again. Why? Because it's getting filled up through him. If we understand that Jesus put this well, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he puts that on the inside of us. And in fact, flip over in John to a couple of chapters to chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So it doesn't just become a spring anymore, but it becomes rivers. Rivers of, again, Zoe water. The Zoe life of God that now resides on the inside of you. Was Jesus saying, does everybody need, you know, if you need some water, get your cup and come to me and I'll fill it up with some of this good water back here from the well. No, he was saying, I am the well. I am the water. I am the one that brings life into you. And just like when I was speaking on grace, it's that same concept, the graces of God, the things that God has made available to us so that we can live a life that is full of joy, full of peace, full of love. See, love is another one. What if we're depending upon others to love us in order to know that we are loved? That could go up and down all the time, depending on how people respond to us. But what if we know that my Heavenly Father loves me? And we personalize that whole idea that he sent Jesus Christ on the cross to die for me so that my sins, his eye is upon me, and he died on the cross for me so that my sins could be washed clean so that he can give me resurrection life. If I personalize that and I know that my Heavenly Father loves me and it's not based upon the love of people, then that means what can I do? I can love others regardless of their reaction towards me. I can pour that love out. See, you can only pour out what's been poured in. And if you are depending upon others to pour in, they are a very limited source. This bottle right here can only hold almost 17 ounces of water. That's it. Once that 17 ounces is gone, that's the capacity that it has. That's all you're going to get. Well, each person is a limited capacity in and of themselves. But if they're linked up to God, then there's an overflow. There's a river. And it never runs dry. That's why he's saying you won't thirst anymore, because it never runs dry. It is a continuous flow of life. But if I get my eyes focused over here to a vessel that is limited, and I'm trying to draw from them, well, they've only got so much. Well, what if they run out and they're like, I don't have any more to give you. Like, I'm done. I'm dry today. Like, that's it. Well, then what am I going to do? I can't overflow if I'm depending upon a limited vessel themselves. But if I plug into the source of eternal life, if I plug into the source of overflow, if I plug into the source of the rivers of living water, then I will never run dry. And I'm not going to react to others because, well, then I'm not depending on them. They're not my source of provision. They're not my source of identity. They're not my source of value, of love. They're not my source of needing to feel worth something. My worth is now in Christ. See, there's a lot of people that they depend upon even their employer for their job, for their promotion, for whatever it is that they're seeking. And the thing is, in fact, there's a scripture in the Bible in Luke 12. There's a man that comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, and it's interesting because he's like, oh, this guy Jesus, you hear how he speaks? He speaks with authority. Like, people listen to him. He's influential. I'm going to go ask him if he will go talk to my brother, because my brother has an inheritance, and this guy will listen to Jesus. He's not listening to me. So I'm going to go to Jesus. Jesus, will you go to my brother and tell him to split the inheritance with me? And Jesus said, who made me judge over you and your family? Like, that's not my position. That's not my place. And then he says something interesting to him. He says, life is not in the possessions of wealth or riches. And that very word that he uses, life, is zoe. So he's saying to him, he's not just saying just life, physical life. He's saying eternal life. And the very sustaining life of God is not found in the possessions of this world. He said, man, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. And my job is not to go around dealing with earthly matters. My job is to pour out spiritual life that then makes itself manifest through the children of God. See, in John 1:4, it talks about how the life was in Jesus. Jesus was the life. And in fact, let's turn there real quickly. Everything's in John this morning. Should be pretty easy. John 1:4. It says, in him was life. Again, Zoe. In him was eternal life. The life of God. The source of God self-existent. And it says, and that life was the light of all men. What does that mean? Do you know that the word light there, it means the manifestation of God's self-existent life. So the very life that we're talking about, the Zoe life of God, it's the manifestation of that. So the light that we're to shine is the life of God. When the life of God that we draw from begins to manifest out of our lives, that is light. And the light was the light of men. That life becomes the light that makes you shine to others. So when we tap into the source of God, the life of God, then when it's made manifest, see, everything is spiritual. Everything you need is spiritual in nature until it manifests in the physical. So you have to tap in spiritually. So, because that's where people get it messed up. They're looking to someone for a physical thing or something that they can give them. But the thing is, it's everything you need is divine in nature and then has to manifest out. So how do you do that? You begin by knowing what the word says. When you know that he is your provider, when you know that he's your identity, he's your value, he's your worth, he's your love, he's your source of joy, he's your source of peace, all of these things, then those are the words that you begin to declare. Those are the words that you begin to say about yourself and about your family. And it doesn't matter what someone else says. So now you're drawing from the source of life. And as you're saying it, it becomes the light of you. That light begins to reflect. That light begins to come out. And then what happens? Then other people can see that. Now all of a sudden you're like a walking light bulb. It's like Kavai's got this song that she sings on. If you've got kids, you might have seen it if you do the Christian station. And it's this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Many of you know that song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, they put this beat to it and they've got this big light bulb that like walks down the street and that's all it does, the whole song. Like there's not much to it. It's just this light bulb walking down the dark street and this thing is shining. But that's what it reminds me of. You become like that light bulb. You become that shining beacon to other people. And then what happens is they're drawn to you. They begin to look at you and they see you, but what they don't realize is it's the Jesus that's shining out of you. Because you're drawing from him. You're not looking to them. You're not looking to your employer. You're not even looking to your kids to bring you happiness. As you know, many times as you can say, stop doing that, stop doing that, stop doing that. Do you know your kids are not to bring you happiness? You're to prepare your children to release them in life. But many times what happens is we try to pour into our children thinking at some point they're going to bring us joy by what they choose to do in life, which it can be a joyous thing. It can be very a wonderful thing if we raise them up in that. But what I'm saying is your joy and your peace is not found in and through them. Your peace and joy is found in Christ. And then you impact them by the same peace and joy that resides in you. Same thing in our marriages. I remember Joyce Meyer saying one time, she was, I don't know if you've heard her testimony, she's got an amazing testimony, amazing. Where she came from growing up to where she ended up is such a transformation and life-changing. But she depended upon her husband, Dave, for years and years and years and years to bring her happiness, to bring her peace. And if she didn't get it, well then, guess what? She was emotionally driven. And she began to, you know, she'd be frustrated or she'd be mad or she'd start manipulating and trying to get him to make her happy in some way. He went golfing again. He's not home spending time with me. Why is he golfing? And Dave, for a little bit of time, she said, would try to make her happy, but she said he realized real quick, I'm not going to be able to bring this woman happiness. Like, I can't figure this out. So he just chose he's going to enjoy life no matter what, and he wasn't going to allow her mood to affect him. So he chose, I'm going to be joyful, I'm going to be happy no matter what she chooses to do. Well, that frustrated her even more. So for many years, she was just frustrated that Dave was not allowing his mood to be changed based on her mood. And it just annoyed her. And then she would go and she would cry, Lord, why is he acting like this? Well, it finally dawned on her that he was actually doing what he should have done, which was allowing his peace and joy to be found in the Lord and not in her, and not in her moods and not in her emotions. And she began to learn from that, and she began to say, God, I want to be like that. And so she began to make decisions that I'm not going to allow my joy and my peace to be stolen based upon what he does, based upon whether he fulfills what I want or not. I've got to find my fulfillment in the Lord. I have to find my joy in the Lord. I have to find my peace in the Lord. And even beyond that, our destiny, our future, our security, it has to be found in the Lord. It can't be found in people. Well, they shut this certain department down in my business and or in my job, and now that's no longer going to be, you know, I was aiming for this, and now that's no longer there. What am I going to do? Like, your piece of that, your security, your destiny, it's on the inside of you. It's up to you to discover.
It's not up to your employer. It's up to you. You have to be the one to discover what God put in you. You have to be the one to dig in and say, what has God designed in me? What has he put in me? And I have to make that happen. I have to go out and have faith to do that. Instead of depending upon my employer to open that door for me. See, if your source is your employer, if your source is your husband or wife, if your source is somebody or something, then as soon as that door shuts, then you're going to think, that's it. There's no possible way. And your eyes are not upon the real source, which is Jesus Christ, that can open up another door that you may not even see. In another place. See, sometimes we're so boxed in, it has to be right here, it has to be in this manner, it has to be in this method and style. And the thing is, God's like, I can do so much more if you would just step back and trust me and allow me to be your source instead of a person. Because I can do more than what you can imagine. And so God wants to be your source. We have to trust in God. If a door shuts, we can't say, oh, that was just it. We have to say, okay, God, I'm not sure what's happening here. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust that you've got something better for me. I'm going to trust that this may not have worked out here, but I am going to believe in you and your love for me, that you desire good things for my life. So I'm not going to trust in man and put my hope in that. See, your dreams cannot be dashed because of someone else's decisions. Your hopes in life cannot be crushed because of someone else's choices. And so many times people, they live life based upon other people's choices and decisions and allow that to rock their boat. But if you'll grab a hold of this today, and allow yourself to trust in Jesus. Allow yourself to trust in him and in his nature and in his love for you. Then you will not be shaken. You have to trust in him, in his word. There's a story in the book of 1 Samuel. You guys know the story of Hannah having Samuel? So I don't have to go back and read the whole thing. Okay, in 1 Samuel, at the very beginning of the book, there's this wonderful mother. She's not a mother yet. In fact, it says that her womb was closed, and she has this desire for children. And her husband, Elkanah, he had another wife, Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, and then she began to like make fun of Hannah because Hannah didn't have any children. She kind of hung it over her head and made life miserable for Hannah. It was difficult. But Hannah had a decision she had to make. Am I going to trust in God? Or am I going to look at everybody else, blame Peninnah, blame my husband, look at him and say, why aren't you giving me children? Or why is life this way? Why is this woman so mean to me? I'm just going to start reacting to her and just react in life to all of this negativity and this stuff and this desire that she's not getting what she's wanting. But she doesn't. And it's even interesting because even her husband, this scripture always cracks me up because here you even have a husband, and I think sometimes husbands think this way. And he's like, am I not enough for you? Am I not enough, better than 10 sons? And that was his response. How many of you know that if you want a steak and you're given a plate of tofu, it's just not going to cut it? You want that steak, right? Okay, well, a husband doesn't replace the desire for children. And when you have that desire, then it's children that will fulfill that desire, not other things. And so she's like, she didn't say anything, but she takes it to the Lord. And that's the thing. We have to take it to the Lord. She goes into the temple and she cries out to the Lord. Lord, my desire is to have children. My desire is to have a son. And in fact, I will give him back to you. You can use him for your service. And she connects her dream with God. Not with someone else. She doesn't blame. She doesn't play the victim and say, everybody feels sorry for me. She takes it to God. Her source becomes God. God hears her prayer, and by the time next year, she has a son. See, there are situations in life that other people will not be able to fix for us. We have to take it to God. Someone else cannot fix the situation. That phone call 20 times a day to somebody else to complain to them over your boss or whoever it is not going to fix it. You need to take it to God. God is your source. And there are times that even we have to tell people that God is your source. I will pray with you, but I am not your source. We have to point people to God. And sometimes we as people can feel like, oh, this makes me feel important to step in this role and become the provider, become the savior, become the person of love, the person of, I'm not saying don't love people, but you get what I'm saying. You can't be the source for that person. What happens if you're not there? They've got, their eyes have to get shifted to Christ. Our job is to get people to see Christ. That's why so much of this church is about prayer. Well, let me hear what's going on. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray together. It's not my job to fix someone else's problems. It's my job to agree with them in prayer. Yes, if I have something that can help them, yeah, I'm not going to withhold that. But what I'm saying is I can't run around trying to make sure that everybody's appeased when their source, their foundation has to be in Christ. So even this morning, what is it that maybe you've been depending upon on the flesh or the flesh of others? What is it that we need to turn our eyes to Christ and depend upon him as our source? And sometimes things can slip in and we go, you know what? I haven't even taken this to God. Why haven't I even taken this to God yet? Like, why am I depending upon myself? Why am I depending on someone else? Why am I taking this problem time and time again to someone else and I'm just venting and they can't do anything about it? Why don't I take it to God? He's got to be my source. Minister, can you go ahead and come to the keyboard? See, sometimes we'll even do that with our church family or with our church. Or our leaders in our church. They're supposed to be the one to solve my problems. They're supposed to be the one, you know, the pastor's not making me happy. My leader's not fulfilling this. I tried to call and they didn't call me back today. Whatever it might be. We can put expectations on people sometime or on things. And Jesus is saying, I'm your source. Come to me. Learn of me, and I will lift the burden. Sometimes you got to go, and you pray, and then you get up, and it's like 2 seconds later, you're again, nope, I got to take it. Lord, I know you said this. I'm choosing to lay it down. I prayed about it. You get up, maybe it's 5 minutes. Nope, I got to take it back. Because sometimes in the beginning, it takes practice. It's like over and over and over. Nope, I said that I was leaving that with God. I'm trusting in him. I'm trusting in him. And then sometimes it might be another flare up. It might be, well, they did it again. I got to trust in God. They are not my source of joy. I got to trust in God. They are not my source of peace. I got to trust in God. You know what's interesting? You can go ahead and stand up. I'm going to finish up with this story. There was a woman in the Old Testament. Her name was Abigail. And in fact, she ended up becoming David's wife. But it's very interesting because if you read the story, it says that she had a foolish husband and his name, Nabal, even meant fool. And David spent time in the wilderness as he was running from Saul. And he's in this place of guarding actually Nabal's shepherds and his sheep and his flock and all the people, because Nabal was a very rich, wealthy man. It said he had over like 1,000 sheep and, you know, a ton of goats. And he was a wealthy man. He was a rich man. And so it was probably very easy for him to depend upon himself and his wealth, his riches, and all of his servants. But the servants knew David has been like a wall around us and has protected us so that when thieves came, they couldn't break through. Well, when David was needing some food for his men and he goes to Nabal and says, hey, you know, we've helped protect you. Do you have anything for our men that you could help us with? Just some food, some supplies. And he was like, no, who is this guy? I'm not giving my stuff to him. And he goes off and he decides he's going to have his own party. He goes and gets drunk. Well, word gets back to his wife, Abigail. Your husband's been a fool. This is what he said to this guy, David, and this guy, David, has protected us. So now we can guarantee that it's going to be a matter of time before David and his men come and we're all going to be dead, which is exactly what was going on. David's like, who is this guy? We've spent our time protecting him. And now he like pretty much in worldly terms, he just gave us the finger. And he's like, we're going after them. They're dead. The whole household after him. But then Abigail steps in. You know, sometimes it can be easy to say, oh, why did you do that, Nabal? Why did you, you know, you're going to be the death of all of us. Now that's just it. But Abigail did something very wise, and she said, no, we're going to rectify this, and we're going to make this right. Because we should honor those that have protected us. So we're going to take some cheese and some supplies and breads and dates and all of these things. And she goes, and she bows down before David, and she says, I'm sorry for what happened with Nabal, but I'm here to make it right. Here is what we want to give you. Please reconsider what you're doing right now. And she wasn't only doing it. I mean, she was doing it for their own head, but she also was very wise and said, don't let the blood of these men be on your head. She was making a wise decision, not only for her, but for him. Because later, this will be on you if you choose to walk this out. Abigail didn't put herself in a position and say, well, there's nothing I can do. She took it to God. She took God's standards and she applied them. She took God's protocol, what God would uphold, and applied them. There are times when we have to take the word of God, well, every time, take the word of God and do what it says. And not become a victim to other people's choices. You've got to take it to God and depend upon God. And that his word will remain true. David thanked her, turned around, didn't attack them. Nabal has a stroke. 10 days later, he dies. Abigail becomes David's wife. It's an amazing story. God became his vindicator. God will be your vindicator too. You don't have to take vengeance on yourself. If there are things that have been unjustly done in your life, depend upon the Lord. Take it to God. Allow him to be your vindicator. Don't try to take it on yourself. Let Jesus be your source today. Let Jesus be the one that is the answer to your problem. If you've got to dig in the word and find exactly what it says for your position, then do that. But trust in him. Trust in his word. Trust in who he is. Because he loves you so very much. Father, we thank you so much. You are our source. You are our well of life. The very life of God is made available to us. And we are so thankful, Father, that we don't have to be rattled, that we don't have to allow our peace to be shaken. We don't have to allow the things of this world or even the choices and decisions of others to allow that to become our final say. You are the one that has the final say in our life. And Father, we choose to declare that in our life. We choose to stand upon that. Father, I pray over every person in this house this morning. That even as their eyes are shifting, if there's things going on in their life, and they realize, I have to shift my eyes not to people or things, but instead to the one that loves me, to the source of my life, to the one that gives me life. Let me be an overflow of your life. Just begin to pray that to the Lord this morning. Let me be an overflow. Let me be that light to others, that as I receive the very source, the life of God, the Zoe life of God on the inside of me, that I overflow and impact others, that I become the light to other people, that I become the one that helps point them to Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that healing, provision, that all of these things of God, love, joy, peace, the goodness of God, let it flow from the vessels of our life, I pray. Lord, that we would guard our heart, that we would be very intent about what we're doing, that we would have a mindset that always turns to you, that we're not looking to others to fix our problems. We're not looking to others to provide what can only be provided by you. I pray that today is the last day that we look to others to fulfill anything in our life, but instead we look to you. I pray for every cup to overflow. Shambakito torombra santi kroshondo. Brombamba shandi kroshoto. Kishandara sandi kroshoto. Brobaboshati kroshoto. Overflow. 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 Brokashandi kroshoto. Brashandi kroshoto. I pray for every family to overflow. Overflow in the lives of your children. Overflow in the lives of your parents. Overflow. Father, I pray that there would be overflow in businesses, overflow in places of employment, that even as they put their hand to the plow, their eyes are on you. It's not even on their hard work and all their efforts. It's on you. As they work as if they're working unto the Lord. And Father, that it brings them joy. Lord, let it open up doors that only you can open up. Father, that each person will see that you are the one that provides. Let each person experience the profound miracles of God in their life, the things that only you can do.